from tackling rugby to tasting tea, and from baking pies to taking to the skies. Those of you who will be participating in mini classes next week will be exposed to a variety of activities with which perhaps you have not yet come into contact. There are those who have developed some level of expertise in these and other areas that will be presenting to you an overview of their interests and pastimes. But let's put you in the leadership position for a moment. Let's say that you are the one with the experience and are going to be conducting the mini class. You only have a short amount of time in which to present the overview and the essence of the topic, and the topic is Christianity. In a sense, the preparation for that particular mini class has already been done. The material for that presentation has already been assembled and is at your fingertips this morning as you sit with hymnals in hand. In our hymnals on page 12 is one version of this material. It's known as the Apostolic Creed. On page 22, another version is found. It's called the Nicene Creed. And on page 53 is yet another version known as the Athanasian Creed. In perpetuation of a tradition which has been a fixture in the Christian church for a very long time, we make use of such confessions of faith known as creeds. And this tradition is as ancient as it gets. The practice of having a congregation recite together a series of confessional statements apparently dates back to biblical times. For there are certain parts of the Bible which, by virtue of their literary design, seem to have been early version of Christian creeds. Listen, for example, of how briefly and succinctly these statements concerning Christ were written, as found in Paul's first letter to Timothy. Speaking about Jesus, he says, "God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." It seems as though the recitation of statements concerning the person and work of Christ was viewed as important from earliest New Testament times. Well, why? Why do we devote a certain portion of our worship service to the rehearsing of these ancient passages and paragraphs? Why, especially when it's recognized that the creeds are not taken right out of the Bible? They aren't quotes from the Scriptures. Well, the words of our creeds may not be precise quotes from the Bible, but they are precise summaries and declarations of what the Bible says. And for that reason, they are of great value. One might think that the initial benefit for the repetition of these creeds is to be found in connection with the unconverted visitor. For that which we want an unbeliever to know, that which an unbeliever needs to know, is the truth about the person and the work of our Lord Jesus. And it's difficult to imagine a more concise way of conveying who Jesus is and what he has done than through the use of these carefully worded creeds. Creeds which were written for the purpose of setting forth clearly and truthfully who he is and what he has done. The fact that there is but one God who is a triune God, and that the Son of God came to serve as our substitute and atone for our sins. While our creeds serve well to present the simple gospel narrative to unbelievers, however, that does not appear to have been the primary reason for their development. The creeds seem to have been written much more for the purpose of preventing the reintroduction of dangerous heresies that assaulted the early church, heresies which continue to lurk at the threshold of Christian assemblies today. Quoting from a book about our worship practices, "The creed is a summary and profession of the Christian faith. We believe is the striking reminder that this is a confession of the whole Christian church on earth concerning the teachings of Scripture and especially about the person of Christ. False teachings relative to the God of our salvation will not prevail. Believers join their voices with one another and the whole Christian church on earth to speak out God's truth. They declare confidently that Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. The solid and sturdy words of our creeds help to prevent the intrusion of destructive error, serving as a marvelous counterthrust to the assaults of the devil. And in doing so, our Christian creeds also serve to cement in our hearts the heart of the gospel. A recognized expert in the topic of liturgy points out that the Third Synod of Toledo in 589 introduced the creed into the Mass in all Spanish churches as part of an effort to confirm the people in their conversion to Christianity and to combat the Arian heresy. Day by day and week by week, the devil does his best to shake the foundation of our faith. He tries to create cracks in our Christian confession, hoping to pull us away from the Savior. He wants to shake our confidence and our belief that Jesus is the one through whom all things were made, the one who came down from heaven and was born of a virgin, the one who suffered and died and was buried and rose again, the one who will soon appear again to judge every person who has ever lived, the one who makes part of his church any person anywhere in the world who believes in him as the only Savior, and that the Holy Spirit gives new birth and forgiveness of sins through the sacrament of baptism. And so, by voicing week after week the truthful declarations of the creeds, we are strengthening the faith that saves. Every use of the creed is, in a sense, a renewal of our baptismal covenant. Its brief but comprehensive statements encompass the whole dispensation of God. It outlines and preserves, in balanced proportion, Christianity's fundamental beliefs. It witnesses to the perpetuity, unity, and universality of the Christian faith. It binds Christians to one another and to the faithful of all centuries. There are those who criticize the use of creeds, sometimes using a slogan, "Deeds, not creeds." And we certainly do run the risk of getting to the point where we just mindlessly recite the words of the creeds, or falsely assume that if we just say the right things, we're in good standing with God. But where the creeds are properly used for the strengthening of faith, they go hand in hand with the producing of the deeds that prove that faith is alive. Thankfully, these creeds can help foster proper deeds. As you rise to confess your faith in the words of one of the creeds, therefore, perhaps you'll find it helpful to think the words present, prevent, and cement. By speaking together in such a well-crafted way, we are able to present to the unbeliever the sum and substance of our faith, to prevent certain errors from taking root, and cementing in the heart and mind the truth about the wonderful person and the tremendous deeds of our Savior Jesus Christ. In place of a hymn this morning, you are invited to rise and join in the speaking of the Nicene Creed as found on page 22. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.